Hi, you're with Truth News Radio Australia on the 25th of February 2017. You're very welcome to join us for the next hour as we go through some stories that I particularly find interesting and important. Truth News Radio Australia is a fairly original and homegrown show that really consists of mostly my speculation and analysis on things that are going on in the news. Sometimes I have guests on. Lately, I haven't been able to have so many guests. I've been a little too busy with other work, and I've been mainly focusing on just trying to keep up with the news and provide a little bit of perspective that's perhaps different to what you're getting from other sources. I want to spend a bit of time today talking about the scandal over Milo Yiannopoulos, but I want to focus on a particular aspect of it which really hasn't gotten enough attention, and it's one that that I've actually focused on in previous shows quite a bit. And this is really the substantive aspects of what Milo said in these interviews that were dug up. Apparently, it all started with a 16-year-old in Canada who decided she didn't like Milo and went back through some of his earlier podcasts and found him talking to Joe Rogan and another show that I just briefly forgotten the name of, but there's several shows that he went on in which he expressed views that are tantamount to kind of an apologia for relations between adult gay men and younger men, boys, but not necessarily children. He does draw the line at prepubescence, but he certainly goes right down to the line in terms of what he advocates. And this is something that's quite important because this really is, and this is kind of what I want to emphasize in this show, is that this type of behavior really is part of a gay culture in the West, in the US, in Australia, and in Europe. And it's certainly not a big part of what you would call heterosexual culture. And you know, heterosexual men who would engage in that type of activity would be, you know, they wouldn't be kind of getting together much to kind of pat each other on the back and talk. And there wouldn't be this idea of that, you know, if a man molested a 13-year-old girl, that he was somehow kind of, this was a coming of age experience, and that and you wouldn't be seeing adult women basically saying, well, you know, I'm glad that that my gym teacher kind of, you know, molested me, you know, because boy, it really helped me find out how to be a woman. I mean, that sort of thing. I mean, do correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that occurs. I know there are deviants and perverts in the heterosexual world, of course, but they're recognized as such. They're socially ostracized. They're shunned. They do have their little covert pedophile networks, but these pedophile networks are generally, well, they would tend to kind of coalesce all the different forms of deviancy into these groups that go online using Tor and various methods to avoid scrutiny on the internet. But they're okay. They're a little different to the gay culture people, who kind of are a little bit more open about it. But most of them say, well, no, we certainly wouldn't go after younger boys. But then, you know, there is that subculture in gays, just as there is in heterosexuals, that do go after children. So honestly, it's very confused. It's a very weird topic to try and step through and actually examine. But what is clear to me, and this is something that I think is important and something that I actually like about Milo Yiannopoulos, is that he was honest enough to say in a public interview that this type of behavior is normal in the homosexual world. He actually explicitly said that. And this is not something that most gay men would say. And I know I did say, I just previously said that they're kind of open about it. Well, they're open about it with each other, but they wouldn't be open about it on a public broadcast because they know it's frowned upon. But they sort of have an internal view about it amongst their own community that there is this kind of coming of age thing whereby young men who are pubescent but haven't fully developed their sexuality can be kind of guided into becoming gay, kind of mentored into becoming gay. And this for them, and I guess this is where it really differs from pedophilia and from heterosexual forms of deviancy, where it really differs is that it is actually tied in to a kind of a political philosophy and almost a militancy among gay men, which is actually endorsed by the mainstream media and indeed endorsed by governments around the world, where we see programs that have been initiated in schools to teach children and also by extension to educate teachers and parents about the need for inclusiveness and the need to recognize sexual and gender differences at a very early age. And this actually involves recognizing sexual preferences at a very early age, and indeed often even prior to puberty. And there are many cases of that, and there are various articles that I've read that talk about children, so the age of 10, realizing their true sexual orientation. But this is particularly focused on homosexual people rather than heterosexual people. And it's ironic, isn't it? Because, I mean, among the heterosexual community, to talk of children's sexual preferences, if they are heterosexual, would be shunned and, frowned upon because, we don't encourage children to be sexual before puberty. And, we don't really encourage it until they become adults. But there is this double standard. There is a different standard among the gay community where this is kind of tolerated. But it's not tolerated in terms of the actual laws of the land. The laws of the land that apply to gay people apply to heterosexual people in an equal measure. And it is in most Western democracies a crime, a type of rape, to have sexual relations with a child under the age of 16. And in some cases it's 18. And I think in some places it's even older than that. But typically it's in the range of 16 to 18 years old, where the threshold is, before which we say that these people are children, and that they cannot consent to sexual acts. And therefore, if they do engage in sexual acts, even if it appears to be consensual, even if it appears that the child is actually initiating it and leading the adult on, we don't tolerate that. Because the adult has a higher responsibility, right? And children are experimenting in many, many ways as they're growing up. They need to be guided. They need to be told what's right and what's wrong. And an adult who has the excuse of, she led me on, 13-year-old girl having sexual relations with a teacher or something like that, which obviously does happen. That happens has happened many times. But the argument that, she led me on, that doesn't work. It doesn't work in court. That won't get you off. But the attitude among many gay men is that is if this is actually the way it is, and this should be considered, we should be more open-minded about it, and that we should actually redefine our concept of consent. Now, that's just my kind of overview of it. I want to actually play to you some of the clips here, and I'm going to have to play them selectively because there's quite a lot of obscenity in some of this, and I know we're on a family-friendly broadcast here, so I will possibly be editing out some of the naughty words that are being used. But I want to play to you some of the clips relevant to that. And I'll just begin with, there was actually a YouTube compilation put up. And it's for a YouTube channel called The One True Lib. And the narrator of that particular YouTube has his own views about it. I actually don't completely agree with what his conclusions are, but I'm going to play a little of this, and I'm going to reflect with my observations and perhaps counteract the observations that you are hearing from the author of this particular video. Here we go. And it's just starting up here with a copyright.
A bombshell has dropped, and it seems that Milo Yiannopoulos has some splaining to do. Footage apparently reveals that he is, quote-unquote, defending pedophilia. First of all, this article and headline is very disingenuous. He's not a Trump favorite. Okay, Donald Trump tweeted something about the UC Berkeley event, saying that he was upset with the violence and that he was going to withdraw federal funds. This doesn't mean that Trump loves Milo Yiannopoulos, but I just used that headline because it was the first one I found. In order for me to give my judgment, I have to look at all evidence involved, and I will interject whenever I feel necessary to give my opinion on the pieces of evidence. So, here's piece of evidence number one. Milo Yiannopoulos is being recorded in an interview, and in the clip he describes how he feels about 13-year-old boys having relations with older female teachers.
But we're talking about 1325, 1328. These things do happen perfectly consensually. Often, by the way, it's the women who suffer in these, because what normally happens in schools very often is it's an older woman with a younger boy, and the boy is the predator in that situation. The boy is like...
Rude language used here.
And he does. The women fall in love with these nubile young men, these athletic young boys in their prime, and end up having their lives destroyed. They end up having to move schools, move the country, whatever. The point about all this stuff is we get hung up on abuse. This is a controversial point of view, I accept, but we get hung up on this sort of child abuse stuff, and to the point where we're heavily policing even relationships between consenting adults, sort of grad students and professors at universities. This arbitrary and oppressive idea of consent, which totally destroys, the understanding that many of us have of the...
We're just going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. I'm investigating pedophilia and Milo Yiannopoulos. Don't go away.
Cookies.
Cookie? Me love cookies.
Oh, hi, Cookie Muncher. No, these are yucky cookies.
Cookies? Yucky? No bad cookies.
You can't even eat these cookies. These are cyber cookies.
No, can't eat?
No, they are cyber cookies and they clog up your computer.
Me have apple.
Really? Oh, that's an actual apple.
Yummy apple.
I'm going to throw away these yucky cookies in the trash. I click Control, Shift, Delete, and then scroll down to Cookies and clear them.
Bye-bye, yucky cookies.
Now, I go to logosradionetwork.com and I click on the Amazon box on the upper right-hand side, bookmark the link, and I can go to Amazon through this link and order you some yummy new cookies.
New cookies? For me?
Consider it an early Christmas present. And every time I order on Amazon, I go through this link and I give a little present to this radio network, too. B is for cookie.
C is for classified.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
Men and women of Earth, may I have your attention? This is Herewood Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And just playing here some audio in relation to comments that Milo Yiannopoulos said that were resurfaced just last week and led to his resignation from Breitbart. And just I want to make a comment there on the previous segment because what he was saying there about these predatory young boys seducing older women, again, this is a kind of almost a gay meme. You wouldn't find many heterosexual men trying to take that particular line of defense. I'm not saying it wouldn't happen, but it's a more common line of defense or way of looking at it among gay people. And Milo is just being kind of open and honest about his way of seeing the world and his way of thinking. And this is what people just don't seem to understand in this whole debate about LGBT rights and everything, is it the gay world, the gay community, the gay lifestyle is a much less inhibited attitude towards sexuality generally than standard heterosexual culture. And I know heterosexual culture has its extremes and has its fringes and niches where people do all kinds of wacky things. But those are very much niches and very much fringes, and they're kind of ostracized fringes as well. They're not, you don't sort of talk about it in a confident way, right, among strangers, right? It's not something that is openly talked about, but of course it does exist. But the difference is with the gay society is that this whole attitude of disinhibition is really quite the norm. And there's another clip where Milo is talking about people engaging in peculiar practices like urinating during sex. And again, you know, this is considered to be a fetish, many people would consider it to be a disorder, a psychological disorder. But again, among the gay community, it's not always perceived that way, and it's perceived as being part of their uniquely free, disinhibited way of engaging in sex. And I'm not saying this to judge. I'm not standing here in judgment, right? So please don't get that impression. And I'm not trying to cast aspersions on gay people in any way. I'm merely trying to clear the air so that you can see the reality beyond the spin, beyond the kind of the smoke screen of the way information is brought to you. So let's just continue here with the audio, and there'll be some commentary from the guy who made the original audio, and then I'll be putting my commentary on top of his commentary. Anyway, here we go.
This arbitrary and oppressive idea of consent, which totally destroys, understanding that many of us have of the complexities and subtleties and complicated nature of many relationships. You know, people are messy and complex.
While I...
Okay, just pause it there before we go to the other commentary. Arbitrary and oppressive nature of consent. You see, Milo is almost veering into the territory. This is ironic, really, because he's coming very close to veering into the territory of the social justice warriors, whom he is the great crusader against for the alt-right. He actually said the word oppressive there. And Milo normally doesn't use the word oppressive because he knows that that's an SJW cultural Marxist term. But you can see the workings of his mind underneath the surface layer of conservative ideology, which he normally brings to these discussions. His deeper level psyche is emerging in this discussion. And this is something that I do actually take issue with, and I mentioned it before, which is that we suspend consent simply because something occurred between two parties which looked like it was mutually enjoyed by both, and that the younger one may have been to some degree an initiator. That doesn't cut it. You know, that's not good enough to basically throw out the concept of consent. And there is so much research in terms of childhood development and psychology that goes into that, that it's unacceptable, and it's really a disgrace that that someone like Milo, who's purports to be pretty well educated, doesn't at least pay tribute to. I mean, you know, young adolescents have not formed their social identity yet. And they try out different things in ways that are often destructive and that need to be managed, and they need the firm guidance of adults. They don't need adults to kind of cave in to their whims. And boy, you know, this takes it in a whole different direction, because it's not even just about sexuality anymore. It's about a whole attitude to life. I mean, if you have the attitude to life whereby a 13-year-old's, you know, kind of pubescent sexual whimsy can kind of like override the principles of and practices of a professional teacher who should have been trained in these matters and should have studied specifically about these particular topics as part of their training. If that could just be overridden by saying, oh, well, you know, the kid was like into it and, you know, he seduced her, or, you know, the boy seduced the older man. Where are we leading to there? What kind of a culture is that going to be creating for our future? But I must say, I'm thankful for Milo Yiannopoulos. I'm thankful that he expressed himself so blatantly and so clearly. And I'm not angry at him. And I do think that he's in many ways a victim. And this becomes clear in some of the other recorded discussions. And that he is somewhat confused himself. He's confused about why he is the way he is. He is confused about what is morally or ethically right. So I don't blame him, but what I want to do is focus on what he said so that this can feed in to the other discussions that I've been having on this show about the topic of of the normalization of LGBTIQ and the indoctrination of young people into that philosophy, and what it means for all of us, what the deeper implications are. And before I forget, I just want to point out that there have been quite a number of articles that have popped up in liberal, widely distributed publications that promote the idea that actual paedophilia, which is relations of an adult with a prepubescent child, that the tendency for that or the urge for that is actually a kind of just an orientation. And I've mentioned this several times on previous shows, and there was an article that was published on Salon.com which did the rounds on Facebook, and everyone was quite offended by it, titled "I'm a Pedophile But Not a Monster." And it was written by a man by the name of Todd Dickerson in 2015. And he says in the article, "I'm attracted to children, but I'm unwilling to act upon it." So when we start talking about this one particular area that Milo is talking about, understand that this is part of a broader topic that does go right into this area of adult-child sexual relations. With Truth News Radio, I'll be right back.
Pop quiz. Which is a better deal, a super-sized coffee at the regular price or the normal size at a discount? Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll fill you in on the sneaky tricks retailers use to reel in your money in a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
We all love a bargain, but a new study says we're not so good at spotting one. Turns out we're suckers for bigger sizes at regular prices, even when a discount would be better. Researchers made two offers on coffee beans, 33% extra for free or 33% off the price. The discount was by far the better deal, but the volunteers saw them as equal. So why do shoppers go for the bigger size instead of the size that saves them the most money? Mostly because we're bad at fractions. My advice is to compare the unit prices on store shelves, polish your math skills, and beware of marketers' sneaky tricks. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
HempUSA.org has moved and expanded its operations for faster worldwide shipping. Our product line has grown from 5 to nearly 100 items in less than 5 years. Our food is grown naturally, always chemical-free, not found in stores. Great for daily intake and perfect for your emergency storage shelter. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org and see what our powders, seeds, and oil can do for you.
Rule of Law Radio is proud to offer the Rule of Law Traffic Seminar. In today's America, we live in an us-against-them society, and if we, the people, are ever going to have a free society, then we're going to have to stand and defend our own rights. Among those rights are the right to travel freely from place to place, the right to act in our own private capacity, and most importantly, the right to due process of law. Traffic courts afford us the least expensive opportunity to learn how to enforce and preserve our rights through due process. Former Sheriff's Deputy Eddie Craig, in conjunction with Rule of Law Radio, has put together the most comprehensive teaching tool available that will help you understand what due process is and how to hold courts to the rule of law. You can get your own copy of this invaluable material by going to ruleoflawradio.com and ordering your copy today. By ordering now, you'll receive a copy of Eddie's book, The Texas Transportation Code, The Law Versus the Lie, video and audio of the original 2009 seminar, hundreds of research documents, and other useful resource material. Learn how to fight for your rights with the help of this material from ruleoflawradio.com. Order your copy today, and together we can have the free society we all want and deserve.
welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And I'm just going to continue playing here the video made by The One True Lib, a channel that I just stumbled upon. But I thought the author of this video had some interesting views. And he's now going to give you his interpretation of what Milo said about the relations between a 13-year-old and a school teacher. Here we go.
I disagree with part of what he was saying there. This is very disappointing. As an anti-feminist, you'd think he would want to stand up for men. He's written articles about what young men are going through, you know, the sexodus and talking about a MGTOW and stuff like this. Now, I'm very sure that in some instances, the young men were perfectly consenting and were excited and were happy, but you can't have that attitude. I'm not saying he's defending pedophilia, because when someone is 13, 14, that doesn't really seem like a child to me. When I think of child, I think of, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old. So he's really talking about young men. He's not defending pedophilia explicitly. However, what he says is very concerning in that he thinks that the women are the ones that are the victims. I mean, no, man. You often find that many of these women, not many, but quite a few of them, don't end up going to prison at all. And if it's the other way around, and if it's a 13-year-old girl with a 28-year-old man, that man's getting locked away for decades. So there's a double standard there. So that's something I disagree with on Milo a lot when he says this, but I'm still giving him the benefit of the doubt. We've got to listen to all the evidence. And so the next clip is when Milo Yiannopoulos was on Joe Rogan's podcast. And in this one, he describes his relationship with his Catholic priest, but then it goes into something a bit more sinister.
Right and wrong as far as what is right and what is wrong. No, I got lucky. They beat me a little bit.
What do you mean you got lucky?
Me
you got unlucky. You didn't get that taste of... No, I said, just like I said earlier, if it weren't for Father Michael, I would have given far less good head. I mean,
there was a real Father Michael?
So much less... Yeah, he's going to get killed now, but...
Who is Father Michael?
I'm not... No, I bet...
Is a real dude?
I should
make him suck his dick, for real?
I was quite enthusiastic about it. I fucked my English teacher too.
How old was he at the time?
I don't know. He's quite young, quite hot.
Really?
Yeah.
And so that's where it all started? With Father Michael?
No.
Was that post the tranny?
Yeah, it was post.
Thing?
So I wasn't
drag
abused
queen?
As a child or anything like that.
So
it was quite a
you already had the five some and you're like, this is all wrong. I need to talk to Father
Michael. Obscenity here.
You're like, religion is
you
awesome.
See, I really had no hope, did I? I was never going to end well.
Well, it seems like you kept stumbling into dicks.
I just kept falling on them through life.
I don't know what would have happened if a heterosexual man like me...
30 years, I've just been falling on dicks.
...was in the same circumstances as you early on. I mean, obviously, things would have went very different, so I'm not sure if I buy the not
you'd
born
go
this
down,
way.
You'd go down great in a gay club.
Well,
there seems to be a
it's all
big,
sin.
This is a water sports.
It's all
well, this is it, you
it's
see.
All against the
this
Lord.
This is what I'm saying. People
yeah.
are only gay to be transgressive.
Why
they choose to
the
be gay
away,
to be naughty.
How come you're not praying the gay
they
away?
They choose to be gay to be
it
naughty.
It seems like you have all
and now,
the great
being a
components
homosexual,
in place
I know,
to pray the
I know.
Gay away.
I just can't
full belief
tear myself
respect
away
for Christian
from the
values.
Dick. Can't tear myself away
come
from the
on.
Dick.
Come on. Maybe as you get older
maybe
and
I
your
should be
sex drive dries up a little
I
bit.
I always think I would have made a good priest. Do you think I'd make a good priest? I think I'd make a good priest.
Well, you make a good priest if you think the guy that made you suck his dick was a good priest. That kind of good priest.
He was a great priest. Honestly, like, he was
he was good other than that?
I've never had a better singing tutor. He was great.
Singing teacher.
He got notes out of me I didn't even know I could produce.
Ha ha! Well, he yeah. worked your plumbing.
Shattering the chandeliers, kind of.
But was he good outside of what he did? Like, was he a good religious scholar? Was he a good teacher?
I think he was just a parish priest. He's gonna get lynched now.
How's he going to get lynched? Do people know who he is?
I don't think so.
What's his name?
Well, I'm not saying anymore.
Well, how old were you at the time? You were a little kid, and he was like, what?
You're trying to
in his 20s or 30s?
Yet another feminist strategy that you have adopted in addition to your language
what?
Policing.
Trying to out pedophiles?
No, trying to go on this
you were
witch,
the one who was anti-pedophile earlier.
I told you it wasn't the pedophilia. I was
well,
after I lost my virginity. I was
how
in my teens.
You?
I was in my teens.
14.
I was in my teens. Something like
14.
Something like that.
That's what you
I
said. 14 is pedophilia, buddy.
In my teens.
I don't know how they rock it in merry old England.
I was in my teens.
Over here. Right
you've
now,
never
America.
Seen a 15-year-old girl at any point in your life, however old you were, you've never seen a 15-year-old girl you thought was hot.
Yeah, when I was 15.
No, when
thought
you were 20. When you were 25,
I'm not retarded, dude.
When you were 25, when you were 30,
no.
you will have seen girls about 15 you thought were hot.
No,
of course
I thought they
you
were
did.
Little kids.
No, you didn't.
I thought, damn, she's
going
to be hot, but I didn't.
Bullshit.
Not bullshit at all. Look, you can't tell me what I was born into.
I think if you're 14...
Born like this.
You were born this way. You were born a dreary nitpicker.
No, you're trying to make... I'm not into 14-year-olds. How dare you, sir? No.
Me.
You said he's a great guy. He was in a 14-year-old.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's a terrible person.
No.
He certainly was.
I was a very mature 14-year-old.
Yeah. Well, in your case, he got it right. He got the right guy to molest.
It wasn't molestation.
That's absolutely molestation.
It wasn't molestation. It was perfectly consensual.
I don't think it is when they're 14.
When I was 14, trust me, I was the predator. I was the predator.
You were the predator. You were chasing after the priest.
I was the instigator.
He was trying to stay close to God.
I was chasing everybody. I was aggressively seeking out sexual company of adults because I knew it would horrify people because I wanted sort of power over them. It was my way of rebelling. I was the predator at 14, let me tell you.
Do you think that's what's going on with that guy who directed X-Men?
Brian Singer?
Yeah, a bunch of 14-year-old predators going after that poor man.
I'm not sure it's the case with him, no.
That's a guy.
You know, I lived in Hollywood a while ago.
Did you?
Briefly. And,
did you go to one of his parties?
I went to other people who I won't name of a similar stature in Hollywood. I went to their boat parties and to their house parties and things, and some of the things I have seen have beggared belief.
Yeah? Can you give us like a...
Well, just... I don't want to be indiscreet about specific people.
Right, you don't have to do that.
Because I think it's going to be...
Dance around the facts.
Yeah, dangerous. Yeah. But I can tell you the truth without dropping anyone in it.
Okay.
I mean, some of the boys there were very young. Very young.
And this is really recently?
I don't remember... No, like, I don't know, 8 years ago. I don't remember...
Statute of limitations.
I don't remember... whether I ever met Brian Singer or whether I even knew who he was then. But I knew other people of similar stature, as I say, and there were some very young boys around at that time. There was a lot of drugs and a lot of...
Twinks.
A lot of twinks taking drugs and having unsafe sex with older men, and some of these boys were very young.
What did you think?
I thought he was joking at the first point, you know, it's typical Milo kind of trolling, and then it starts to get quite serious. Now,
I'm just going to pause it there before you get the author's commentary and just give you my commentary. Now, I've had to edit out a lot of the expletives in that, so it probably wasn't very interesting to listen to. Milo is describing a type of culture that is very pervasive and is very pervasive at high levels of power, right, as he was saying in the film industry, with people who have a lot of power, a lot of money, a lot of influence, having parties where they have these very, very, very young boys. I mean, there's a problem here, isn't there? I mean, there really is a problem, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, I'm thankful. It's great that Milo opened up and said this, and it's good now that it's actually been exposed, that a lot of people, a lot more people are aware of it. But this is something that we've been talking about on this show quite a bit, and it needs to be further explored. And I don't want to be just saying, oh, it's all about Milo, because it's not all about Milo. Milo is only talking about a phenomenon that is very real in Western civilization right now. And while there is this phenomenon of the abuse of children going on to a very large degree by same-sex oriented individuals in these groups, high up, you know, or in many, many different walks of life, right? And I'm only reflecting what Milo has actually said here. I'm not making accusations out of thin air. But previous research that I've done, including just one example, the writings of Gary Dowsett from the 1980s, who is a professor at... La Trobe University in Melbourne, where he wrote an article specifically about how do we help and normalize and understand, reach out to men who are having sexual relations with children. We're going to break. Don't go away.
My name is Stuart Smith from naturespureorganics.com, and I would like to invite you to come by our store at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite D, here in Austin, Texas, behind Brave New Books and Chase Bank, to see all our fantastic health and wellness products with your very own eyes. Have a look at our miracle healing clay that started our adventure in alternative medicine. Take a peek at some of our other wonderful products, including our Australian emu oil, lotion candles, olive oil soaps, and colloidal silver and gold. Call 512-264-4043 or find us online at naturespureorganics.com. That's 512-264-4043, naturespureorganics.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook for information on events and our products. naturespureorganics.com.
Plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with Jurisdictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. Jurisdictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem-reaction-solution. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And I'm just playing a YouTube video here that was put together by an intelligent young man on the internet who was analyzing Milo Yiannopoulos and his conversations with Joe Rogan, and I think the other one was the Drunken Peasants. I think there's several, actually, but the one which has certainly raised eyebrows the most is the Joe Rogan one. And particularly for what it says about the wider culture of people that among whom Milo has mixed with, including high-flying Hollywood movie types. So let me just continue now. I'll play the continue with the video and perhaps give you some more of my thoughts at the end. Here we go.
Let me clarify, because I know some people may misrepresent what I said earlier. Now, even though I did say that 13, 14-year-olds, in my opinion, if I was to see someone that age, I wouldn't class them as a child. I wouldn't say they was an adult. I'd say they were a young person, so like a young man or a young woman. However, yes, it's still very weird if a 28-year-old, 29-year-old, 30-year-old is going out with a 15-year-old, 14-year-old, 13-year-old. That's not right. No, I'm not saying that's good at all. However, I was merely giving my position that when I think of a child, I think of a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old. But this is something that's very concerning. Now, Milo said 8 years ago he went to a party. Well, he said about 8 years ago. But Milo's 33, and so 8 years ago he would have been 25. So he was around this, and he knows the people that did this, but he won't name them. I don't believe he's trolling here. I genuinely believe he's serious. And if he's serious, this isn't good. You need to name the people who are involved in this. You have a platform. You're huge. Now, Milo has...
Okay, I'm just going to pause it there because I want to talk about something different. The question of whether or not Milo should have outed the particular people that he's referring to that had the boat parties, I think is one we could debate. And obviously it would be extremely explosive to have done that. And I don't actually want to get into that question of whether he should have done that or not, because there's a bigger problem here than just outing individuals, right? What I'm trying to do in this show is to expose the entire cultural paradigm that makes people think that this type of behavior is acceptable, which is a kind of an alternate morality, an alternate ethic. And as I mentioned before the break there, a professor at La Trobe University wrote an article in which he kind of proposes like an ethical moral framework for men having sexual relations, not with 13-year-olds, but with little children, right? So this actually existed in the early 1980s. It's been bubbling away in the subculture for decades. It's out there. It's not getting talked about. But then when one individual gets in the spotlight, we make a big deal about that, and then we try to decide, is this person right or wrong? We don't look at the paradigm, and that's what we really need to look at, because that is the danger. That is what is leading society in a very, very dangerous direction. And I've just got another video here that I just want to play to you briefly. Dr. Steve Turley, I don't know much about this guy, but he's talking a little about this particular aspect of it, and he's kind of honing in on the specific comments that Milo made that articulate his worldview, that come from his homosexual worldview, where he's clashing with Joe Rogan, who is a more of a traditionalist, who's coming from a Judeo-Christian traditional perspective. And what Steve Turley has to say is quite important, I think. So let me just play a little of that for you right now.
But the extraordinary irony to it is that it was Milo that turned around and said, and I'm quoting him, isn't that just called homosexuality? Sounds great. It sounds fantastic. This is after Rogan described men sexually relieving themselves in the mouths of boys. And it was Milo who made light of it, calling it fantastic. Now, what should we make of all this? The first thing we should all acknowledge is that Milo Yiannopoulos is absolutely right. There is absolutely nothing wrong with 13-year-old boys sexually experimenting with grown men if we accept as normative secular sexual redefinitions. We in our modern secular age have redefined sex and sexuality in such a way that makes Milo's point of view perfectly normative. If a man can self-identify as a woman, then why the hell can't a 13-year-old self-identify sexually as an adult? You want to explain that one to me? If marriage is no longer the boundary for socially accepted sexual activity, what precisely is that boundary now going to be? I mean, good luck on making that boundary rooted in the Western concept of consent. The Western world derived the concept of consent from the ancient Romans, who considered consent to be the necessary constituent to a legitimate sexual relationship. Just one little problem, and that is in the Roman world, this consent also included the practice of pederasty, the sexual relationship shared between adult male and often a prepubescent or adolescent boy. Now, given that consent is the only standard of legitimate sexual activity, what stands between our culture and pederasty? How is pederasty inherently inconsistent with consent? Well, according to the church, it is. According to Christian sexual morals, it is. But we've thrown all of that out, haven't we? So now what? I mean, today, I don't know how many of you caught this, you have the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver. He's actually ready to punish states that want to legally prevent grown men from using the same public restrooms as little girls. This guy, Adam Silver, is a moral illiterate. And the fact that he still has a job is a testimony to how emasculated fathers have become in our nation. Every father listening to my voice should demand the immediate resignation of this idiot Silver, along with, by the way, the NFL commissioner who's making similar threats. Again, even someone like Bill Maher, when he had Milo Yiannopoulos on the show, he recognized that there's a problem with encouraging grown men, gender-confused perverts, to follow little girls into the same public bathroom.
Okay. I think we're straying into another area now, which is also very important. But I want to take us back now. I want to refocus on the question about what it is that Milo endorsed in his conversations with Joe Rogan and others on podcasts, and what that really indicates for where we're at with the morality and ethics in Western culture. Because Steve Turley made a very, very important point where he said that if you can self-identify as a woman, and if a child can recognize their sexual orientation at the age of 10, and I do have an article in relation to that. I'll just see if I can find it. Now, there's one article here that I found from the Scientific American. Is your child a pre-homosexual? Forecasting adult sexual orientation. I don't have time to go into that in more depth, but there are many examples, and some much more explicit than this, that indicate that the popular culture is moving towards recognizing the sexuality of children. And of course, this has been around since the 1970s. With the greater awareness of pedophilia in the 80s and 90s, some of that discussion kind of was suppressed, but it's still there latently, and a lot of the people who believe in the concept of child sexuality are still around. And indeed, many of the pedophile groups, and just want to briefly cite the infamous Truong Newton case, the Australian and the American, who abused a young child that they actually bought from a Russian as a kind of a sex toy, literally. That they were, particularly the younger one, which was Truong, the Vietnamese-born Australian, he had been indoctrinated into this idea of it being a kind of a culturally acceptable thing, and he was kind of mentored into homosexuality himself at an early stage in adolescence, and they created a kind of a false paradigm of morality around what they were doing to actually make themselves believe that the little boy that they were actually selling out as a kind of a sex toy around the world. They were taking the child on trips around the world and they were doing the most unbelievably evil things you can imagine. But they actually created a mental framework where they thought what they were doing was legitimate. Now, I'm not suggesting that Milo Yiannopoulos is legitimizing that, but there is a huge gray area where it all blends together. And the key point there that was made in that last video was that with the new concept we have of the human being, the new concept we have of purely secular morality that affirms forms of sexual behavior which were considered deviant and disordered only a couple of generations ago, it seems completely acceptable, I mean, within that framework, to think that we're going to change the definition of what child consent really entails. It's this question of consent. Can a child consent? I don't think they can. We are at the end of the show. I hope that's been of some use. It's certainly been an interesting journey for me too. I'll be back next week. It's been great talking to you. Truth News Radio Australia, signing out.
help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free books are a three-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing in Christ, and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. Or visit us online at bfa.org.